Hi, Katie. Thanks for joining the Fruit Street Health podcast. And maybe you could just tell the listeners a little bit about your professional and educational background and why you decided to become a coach for Fruit Street's diabetes prevention program.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me. So I'm a registered dietitian, and I received my bachelor's degree in nutrition from Montana State University and my master's degree in human nutrition from Arizona State University. And I've been a practicing dietitian for about 9 years. Most of my career has been spent in a small critical access hospital in Montana, where I was the clinical dietitian and then moved into the director of clinical nutrition. And so I have taught diabetes education and diabetes prevention program classes on site at that hospital, and just really love the curriculum and the engagement and how well participants do. So I was really excited to see the opportunity to join Fruit Street's team.
And what do you think about the similarities or differences between an in-person class and using Zoom to do these group classes?
Yeah, I think there's just so many benefits to both, right? Like, I think it depends on how the person engages best, but I've found so far teaching them virtually that people are really engaged. And I think doing it in the comfort of their own home versus coming into the hospital setting, which can be kind of intimidating, makes them feel more comfortable sharing. So I really enjoy both, but I think that the virtual Zoom classes are really awesome and people seem to engage really well.
And how long have you been a coach for Fruit Street, and how many classes have you taught so far?
Yeah, so I'm relatively new to Fruit Street. So I have been there for about 5 to 6 weeks. So I just got assigned my second class, and my first class will be on their fifth week this Monday. So although I've been teaching diabetes prevention program classes, I've only been with Fruit Street for about a month officially.
Oh, thanks for joining us. That's great.
Yeah.
and do you have any thoughts on some of the other tools in the program, like the wireless scale, the Fitbit, people taking pictures of their food, or what do you think about those like added features of a digital program?
Yeah, I think those are great. I think that the scale seems to be awesome. People really like that it just auto syncs, so you don't have to come into kind of a public setting and get weighed and just all of that, right? It just comes straight to us. So that seems like a great feature. And then also I've really enjoyed seeing the pictures of the food. So we used to have all of our food logs were just handwritten in little booklets. And so actually seeing the pictures of the food give me a better idea of what these people are actually eating instead of just seeing it written down. So I think that's been awesome. And then the fact that they get a Fitbit is a really added bonus in my opinion, because that helps motivate them to move more. And then we can see exactly what they're doing, so we can also help to try to engage them and, you know, increase their movement as much as possible.
For the in-person classes that you taught, did you feel like some people were hesitant to be like weighed at the class? Was that something that you did?
Yes. Yeah. So we had like a private weighing area. Obviously we weren't weighing them in front of everybody, but
right.
I think there was just a lot of that stigma around it, having someone right, like standing right over you looking at the scale. So there was a lot of just hesitancy that they would be like, oh, I think I gained this week, and getting a little bit like worked up to just step on the scale because it's in front of someone that you may have just barely met. And so I did find a lot of participants didn't like that part as much. And then I would even have some that would prefer to stand backwards on the scale, where I would just document the number and they never actually saw it. And so, yeah, there was definitely some hesitation with that in person.
Yeah, I've seen even some digital scales where it doesn't display a number, or I guess with a digital right. scale, you could just choose not to look if you wanted to.
Right. Yeah. I think there's just so much stigma around weight, and people feel like, oh my gosh, like, you know, if I don't lose weight, I'm not successful. And so I really love that also about the diabetes prevention program and Fruit Street, is that you focus on all sorts of different wins besides just weight.
And do you feel like for weight, there's some people that, you know, benefit from weighing themselves every day, and then maybe for other people, if they get really stressed about it, it would be better once a week? I mean, I how do you feel about that question?
Yeah, I feel like I definitely err on the more once a week. I know there's some solid research that shows once a day keeps you more aware of it and things like that. But I find that people get way too hung up on the 0.2 of a pound gain or loss. And, you know, that could be all sorts of different things factoring into it. So I think once a week gives you a good kind of pattern of what's happening instead of just like getting so nitpicky on the day to day.
Yeah. I feel like it depends on the person, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there is that research, but then I've also, there's probably research on the other side too, that it stresses people
exactly.
out quite a bit. I mean, you can find a peer reviewed journal article to support a lot of different physicians.
Right. Either way, whatever you want to do. Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah. How do you feel about the group model compared to just doing a one-on-one session with someone? Do you feel like there's like, I don't know, an emotional connection between the participants?
Yeah, I do. So I've done a lot of one-on-one counseling in my career as a dietitian, and I feel that it can be really beneficial for some people. But the group dynamic, I just find so much more engaging and motivating. Even though the people in the Fruit Street classes might not know each other, they still kind of feel like an accountability to show up to class and engage with their peers and things. So I just think the group dynamic is really great. The other thing I find awesome about it is that someone might share an idea that then everybody else can take home that I might not have shared in a one-on-one. So they get the benefit of learning from the coaches, but also learning from each other. So there's just so much added benefit.
Yeah, for sure. We've even thought about using that group model for like other diseases. I mean, even for people that already have type 2 diabetes or for hypertension. Right. I mean, what do you think about using groups for other chronic diseases?
Yeah, I think that's awesome. So I work closely with an endocrinologist in my hospital position, and we have been looking at that same thing. So we haven't quite initiated it yet, but I know a lot of other diabetes educators across the state of Montana have been doing that because you're really providing very similar knowledge. So it allows, you know, kind of like less burnout on the medical professionals as well, instead of telling the you know, the same story 10 times a day, you get them engaged in a group. So I think it would be really beneficial. And I find that people with diabetes or other chronic health conditions really like to know that other people are walking in those same shoes, right? So that they're not alone and they can kind of like resonate with other people. So I think it's an awesome tool to use for other chronic conditions as well.
Yeah, that's an interesting point about the healthcare professionals like burning out from doing the one-on-one consults. I mean, there's probably not enough healthcare resources to do one-on-one consults to really deliver it at scale. You know, it's basically one-to-one versus 1 to 30, right?
Right, exactly.
So yeah, no, I mean, we actually are in the process of building a diabetes self-management education program for type 2 diabetes. So, and we would add like a continuous glucose monitor, a smartphone compatible glucometer.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, so then they have the scale, the Fitbit, the pictures of food, and the glucose meter.
I think that would be so awesome. I'm a certified diabetes educator. I know it's a new title now, but so I've been doing that for about 4 years, and I find the CGM data is so important. And it just helps navigate what's going on because you get just that real time data. So that's awesome. I think any programs like that are going to be so beneficial.
Yeah, one thing I need to learn a little bit more about is for the CGM data. Do you feel like it's appropriate for every patient with type 2 diabetes or just certain ones?
Yeah, so I think just certain ones in a sense, because if people have really good control already, sometimes it's almost like thinking back to the scale, they get too obsessed with their numbers. So if they have, you know, good control and they're kind of at their A1C goal, I don't think it's always appropriate, but I think it's appropriate for kind of through, you know, anyone that's just struggling. And it doesn't have to be like, oh, my A1C is 15. It could be kind of like, I've been stuck at 7.5 and my goal is 6. Like, what's going on? I think it's really helpful for the majority. There's just a few that I can think of that would get too hyper-focused and then maybe have low blood sugars, you know, because they're getting so obsessed with it. But for the most part, even having a patient or client wear one for maybe 14 days or 7 days, just temporary, shows you a ton of information that you're not going to get from blood sugar checks.
Yeah. And I think one of the exciting things about that program is that we could potentially help people come off of certain medications, you know, and that kind of thing.
Exactly. And I think that's key. If you're going to try to decrease medications and really focus and hone in on that lifestyle change, you have to have that data to know, you know, when they're having spikes and what tweaks you can make to help, really.
And have you done group classes for type 2 diabetes in person before?
I have, yes. We did a course that was actually really cool. It was grant funded through the state of Montana. And I know it was offered across the United States too, but it was basically meant to kind of empower people with diabetes. So we provided glimmers of information. It was a 6-week course in person, but we really kind of empowered them to teach it. So we would kind of give them the tools and they would talk amongst themselves and we would kind of facilitate it and make sure they're like providing accurate data and accurate information, but it was awesome. They really empowered each other to do it. But I found that it was really helpful. That's one of the only group diabetes classes I've ever taught.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of the content similar, but a little, you'd have to tailor it a little bit for type 2 diabetes for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And I think type 1 versus type 2, and maybe even like separating a little bit out of like, if you're on insulin therapy or just oral medications or lifestyle managing it, there would be kind of a little bit of difference. But I also think you can facilitate that as a diabetes educator and say, you know, not everybody's on the same treatment, but here's kind of a, you know, carbohydrates and talk about all the key points that work for everybody.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So jumping back to the Fruit Street side of things, I know you just started, but I mean, have you seen any participants have any like particular success yet or certain maybe moments where you felt like, I don't know, the class is going really well that you wanted to share or anything like that?
Yeah. So I just had my 4th week and I feel like so far I'm really impressed with attendance. It's been a really high attendance rate in my opinion from classes I've taught previously, but we had a couple participants share last week, so it would be week 4, that they've lost anywhere from like 8 to 12 pounds in the first 4 weeks. So that was a really big success. And then one thing that one of the participants shared that stood out to me was that she got her Fitbit and she had been so like stressed out about getting activities. She was really nervous to go into the gym. And for some reason, having that Fitbit really motivated her. So she started at her gym. She hasn't exercised in like 15 years. So she's been setting goals each day with her steps. So, those are probably the biggest wins I've seen so far, but I also noticed like participants from week 1 that didn't say a word that now are opening up. So I feel like that's also a win because they're getting that engagement and support too.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that, participants could also just listen initially if they're shy and then get value out of it because they're listening to the conversation amongst other people. And then hopefully eventually they open up and they share more.
Yeah. And I've found that a lot. And I've been really trying to do a lot of the kind of motivational interviewing techniques. And if someone asks a question, I kind of open it up to the group to see if anyone else wants to share what they've done for that problem before, or if they have any ideas before I kind of share my 2 cents. And so I think that's helped kind of open things up a little bit too.
Yeah, no, that's great. Well, I'm glad to hear that some of the participants are having success in the first 4 or 5 weeks. Maybe we'll have to do another podcast episode with you in 11 months and see how everyone has turned out.
Yeah, I would love that. I think they're going to do great. They just seem like they're really motivated and involved. So that's been awesome.
Well, great. Thanks for coming on the show. And I'm glad to see you started with Fruit Street. And we'll check back in 11 months.